Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Elbit Vision Systems' third quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact EVS's investor relations team at GK Investor & Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.evs.co.il. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to EVS third quarter 2017 conference call. I would like to welcome all of you to the conference call, and I would like to thank EVS management for hosting this call. Before we start, I'd like to point out that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and EVS cannot guarantee that they will in fact occur. EVS does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive natures of EVS industry, as well as other risks identified in documents filed by the company with Securities and Exchange Commission. With us on the call today are Mr. Sam Keohane, the CEO, and Mr. Yaron Menashe, the CFO. Sam will discuss some of the key highlights of the third quarter, while Yaron will summarize the financial highlights of the third quarter. After this, we'll open the call for the question and answer session. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Sam Keohane, EVS CEO. Sam, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Ehud. I'd like to welcome all of you to our conference call, and thank you for joining us today. As you can see from our results, 2017 is following a similar track as 2016, particularly on the top line. While we obviously always prefer growth from a strategic perspective, we are happy with the new development and improvement we have made to our business this year. In fact, we are even more excited with regards to our potential in 2018 and beyond. To provide you a short financial summary in the 9 months to date, revenue in both periods stand at around $7.3 million. Although the makeup of these revenues was quite different, 2017 has shown substantial improvement in both America and Europe, but a shrinkage in revenue from China has kept our results flat. On the bottom line, we remain profitable even as we make significant investment in our business and our products. As always, we remain committed to keeping our business profitable. We have invested in new field engineers that can install and service our products at customer sites. This will enable us to increase our pace of installations and trials while maintaining the highest level of support to our existing customer base. We've also increased our investment in R&D. This has allowed us to make improvement to our products, especially on the software side, adding features that will benefit our customers. This will make our products more attractive to customers with better return on investment, ultimately leading to increasing sales. As I mentioned, these investments led to increased expenses this year, lowering our level of growth and operating income in 2017. However, we expect to see the fruits of these investments in 2018. I'd like to take a few moments to look ahead and explain why we are excited about the business we see in our future. In recent months, we have seen an increase in order level from all regions. China, which was especially weak earlier this year, has recently shown an increase in order. We expect its sales pace to return to its former level during 2018. In the U.S., our business continued to grow. One order I would like to highlight is from a leading multinational nonwoven manufacturer. After a nearly year-long development program on their first system, we have recently received our first order in what they call the global rollout plan. We expect significant follow-on orders from this customer in 2018, where we will share with you further information. Given the opportunities, we are looking to increase the marketing and sales efforts in the upcoming months. In January, the Hemp Textile Show in Frankfurt will take place. This is a very important home product show where every major retailer will be in attendance. We will have 5 staff members that demonstrate there, demonstrating our SVA and IQTech 4 solutions with the goal of educating these large multinational retailers on the enormous importance of inspection, automation, and quality standardization from their textile suppliers. To summarize, why we remain cash profitable and cash generating in 2017, we invested heavily in our future at the expense of a short-term profit. We have worked hard to make improvements to our business structure as well as our products, which will enable us to realize our growth potential. With demand clearly growing, we feel very optimistic about the future of EVS as we move into 2018. The positive order momentum we have seen recently in our sales activities make us increasingly excited about our plans and for continued growth. The upgrades to our software and automation tools have positioned our solution well ahead of any competition and are allowing our customers to see no more than ever a substantial improvement in our cost to performance ratio. Our commitment to complete automation of the textile market and to create global quality standardization has not changed. Though we continue to build toward the full potential of the IVAR, we have never felt more confident in our future. And with that, I would like to hand over to Yaron Menashe, our CFO. Yaron, go ahead.
Thank you, Sam. Revenue for the third quarter of 2017 was $2.5 million, around the same level of those of third quarter of last year, and an increase compared to $2.3 million in the previous quarter. In percentage terms, revenue grew year over year by 2% and 10% compared to the previous quarter. Third quarter gross profit was $1.3 million with a gross margin of 50%. The gross margin in the third quarter of last year was 54.9%. The reduction in the gross margin this quarter was due to high installation expenses related to IBOR trial. Operating income in the third quarter of 2017 was $343,000 versus $554,000 in the third quarter of last year, and $427,000 in the prior quarter. Net income of the third quarter of 2017 was $350,000 compared with $528,000 in the third quarter of last year and $396,000 in the prior quarter. Cash and cash equivalent as of December this year was $3.8 million compared with $4.5 million as of December last year. As of September end, our shareholder equity strongly improved and stood at $7 million from $5.8 million reported at the end of last year. And with that, we would be happy to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Brandon Farrow of Cleveland Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, Sam. I had a question for you. You kind of talked about it in your prepared comments there in the press release and also on the call that the reason you have to plow additional capital into the R&D and engineering and software side of the equation is because it's evident to you that your customers are demanding apparently more features in the products that you sell relative to what already exists. So I'm just trying to understand, as you kind of go out and pitch Elbit Vision Systems to customers, what isn't in the products to make the ROI on them appealing enough already?
First of all, when we talk about this, we mainly talking about the iBar. We have the traditional business, the legacy products, which are the IPTEX and the SVA. And IPTEX and SVA are mature and everything is okay. We're adding more features, always adding more features to any of our products. But the main, this comment is related mainly to the iBar, which is a relatively new product. And it's an on-loom inspection or on-loom monitoring system. And because it's a new product, we're always adding more and more features that the customers ask. As you know, and we mentioned this several times in previous conferences and press releases, approaching and penetrating the on-loom inspection from top to down, which means from high end first, and then we're going mid end and low end. Right now we're still in high end, and in automotive industry or printed circuit boards industry or airbag industry or composite material industry, all these industries, each one of them has different requirements, different needs. Sometimes customers asking for very simple things, but in R&D, it's going to take in software for software engineers, it's going to take 1 month to complete a development of this feature. So that's what we are relating to. So that's, we're basically installing one machine, as we call it, land and expand. We learn from this customer more than what we initially thought. Also, the customer learned more about what the system can do. And immediately we come up with new ideas that will improve the value of our product. Improving the value of the product means that you give more as far as new features, new capabilities, and it's mainly in software.
Understood. I'm just wondering, it seems evident now that there has to be some common theme that you're hearing from your customers that has impeded the adoption of the iBar product, and it sounds like it is potentially in software, and the software lacks some type of feature functionality that's slowing adoption, if I'm understanding correctly. So I'm just wondering, what are those specific features that need to be added to quicken the pace of adoption?
Well, it's different from a customer to a customer, but I'll give you an example, okay? One customer asked us to measure the thickness of the yarn. He thinks that this will bring him a huge value. Now, don't forget, we are currently, if we go to a new field or a new segment, we basically choose the customer, and we choose the customer just to make sure that we will have the right partner to complete our solution before we go and address other potential customers. So with him, he gave us feedback. He said, we believe that adding this feature, the thickness of yarn, will help us to improve our processes in the spinning process. So this will add more value to the product. Or if a customer will say, I need more or better statistics software that will help me to identify problems with one of the operators in one of the shifts that we have here, because we have three shifts, and I want to make sure that that I don't have a operator on the machine that doesn't know what it's supposed to do, or I can identify bad quality, bad supplier, yarn suppliers. These kind of things, you know, we can learn as we go. We have our own initial thoughts before we installing this machine, again, on a new segment. For example, one of the segments that we feel very mature is tire cord. We started with tire cord, we feel very mature. A few weeks ago, we started a trial in one of the customers in Asia. And after 2 weeks, we got acceptance, and we're talking to this customer about more systems. This never happened to us before. I mean, it's really happened instantly from our point of view. But it happens because our engineers were mature enough and knew exactly what they're looking for. And, you know, he just installed the machine. He copy-paste from the installation he did before. And that's it. The customer immediately recognized the benefits and provide the acceptance. And he's talking to us about more machines now. And he's putting in his budget more machines. So this is a mature process. But we are going segment by segment. And that's what we are doing.
Gotcha. Thank you. Just one last question. Do you have a sense of what your market share might be in, I guess, globally for on loom weaving inspection? I don't know if you can answer that question or not.
Well, this is a new market. 99.99% of all the weaving machines in the world doesn't have on loom optical sensors or image processing. Or monitoring systems on the weaving machine. Okay.
Yep.
There are lasers. There are all kinds of sensors, but nobody is using cameras to monitor the weaving process or knitting process. And the reasons are technological. It was more difficult to do it, and also cost. People couldn't do it in the right cost. So. I hope this is, up until now, we sold probably around 260, maybe more, but this represents almost nothing from the potential.
Gotcha. That's all I had. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Michael Bursick of National Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Just a quick, do you have any color on the next quarter at this point yet, just as an idea, even if it's just a general idea?
It's really hard to say. You know, I can tell you that it depends on shipping, it depends on some productions here, but it's very difficult, and we have some big orders that, you know, if it's going to be in this quarter or next quarter, it's going to impact the results. So it's difficult to say exactly what's going to be or even close to what's going to be in the fourth quarter, even though we are in December. I realize that we're already in December. It's still not clear to us 100% what will be the results of the last quarter.
Great. Thank you.
The next question is from Tomer Cohen of Five Roans Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good morning, Tomer.
My first question has to do with the iDentity product. I noticed on your website that about a year ago you put that product on the site. Is that the yarn density product that you mentioned earlier when you were answering Brandon's question?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a separate product, although it's the same technology. It's exactly the same technology, even the same algorithm. But we try to use the iDentity for the finishing processes, mainly in denim, in denim application. But the iDentity itself is, if you look at this from a customer point of view, it's completely different. Completely different product, although it's using the same technology like the iBar, the same camera like the iBar, the same software, but we use it for a complete different need and application.
Okay, so Can you tell me a little bit more about the application in terms of, you know,
yes,
what do you think
yes.
is the addressable market and the use cases?
Well, it's relatively simple. In a denim, in a final process, you set the density or the tension of the fabric. And right now, you know, you can pull the fabric and you can make it, you know, you can make it longer, if I may say. If you put more tension, you can make it longer, but then your customers will complain, and there are specifications for that. And the identity makes sure that our customers, in the finishing process, before the cut and sew operation, will use or will stand behind the specification of their customers. Now, we started with denim, although this product can go to any product. And as you know, there are 10,000 finishing lines probably around the world. For denim, I would suggest that there are probably a few hundred, maybe 1,000 machines, finishing lines for producing denim. So that's the addressable market. Currently, we are using this mainly as a add-on module to the IQTEX. Customers are really excited, so when they buy IQTEX for denim, we also explain to them about this capability, and they like it. That's basically adding value to the IQTEX. It doesn't really add a lot of cost, but it's adding a lot of value to our IQTEX 4 solution.
I see. And is there anybody offering a similar solution?
I know that there is a German company that's doing it, but you know, to provide it together with the IQTEX, again, just like the shade variation. You know, when we would like to, you know, when we look at this, we like to look at this from a point of standardization. So we want our customers to say, okay, IQTEX is in charge of defect weaving and finishing type of defects. We have, this is a check mark. Then we have the identity, making sure that the density is correct, that the density is by the standard, okay, check mark. And the last one is the shade variation, just to make sure that the shade is correct. So EVS basically provides a standard in all these three parameters, and we try to add more just to create more value to our solution.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
And then very quickly, you mentioned a large multinational that is starting to buy your products as part of a global rollout. Can you tell us who that is?
No. I cannot.
That's okay.
But it's one of the largest non-woven manufacturers in the world.
Okay, so this is a non-woven side of the business. So this isn't Ibar or...
No, it's IQTEX 4.
I see. Okay. And can you give us anything in terms of the potential for the relationship with that customer in terms of number of machines or sales?
No, I prefer not to expose this at this moment. Again, one thing, Tomer, I'd like to say here again is we realized in the last 6-7 months that many companies are listening, again, potential competitors are watching, are listening to these conferences, and we prefer to expose as little information as possible. Okay.
That's helpful.
So it's a large non-woven, very large non-woven producer, and we have done an extensive evaluation together with them. We thought it's going to take 1 or 2 months. It took us 1 year. It took them 1 year to do all the tests and evaluations. But eventually, we won, and we're very happy about it. We're very proud about this performance and these results. And we believe that this is going to be very soon a standard in their business and in their manufacturing process.
Okay, congratulations. Well, one last quick question before I hop in back in line. Do you expect that your hiring needs, you know, with the last round of hirings, have you met your hiring needs, or do you think that there's going to be, you know, additional growth and operating expenses going forward as you hire more people?
It's hard to say. I cannot really answer at this point for this question.
Okay.
It's hard to say.
All right. Well, seems like you've been doing a lot of work, and hopefully that work will bear fruit over the next year.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jason Hirschman, private. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
Okay. Very good. Very good. I have a few questions for you today. Gross margin, I noticed obviously it went down to 50% or so. I think you mentioned in your comments that partly was the IBAR trials. And it seems to me that given the decrease in the gross margin, a fairly substantial decrease from previous quarters, is this because of a large number of trials or a particularly large trial?
Yes, it's we tactically decided to have more trials, initial more trials, just approach more customers, and just, you know, put a system in, have our engineers working there for a few weeks, get acceptance and move, and just, you know, just plant it in our customers' minds. You know, it's a revolutionized product, business. It's we realize that we need to be more aggressive in putting the system in, especially on segments that we feel strong, just like the tire code, for example. You know, we feel strong about it. When I say we feel, our engineers feel strong. They know what the customer wants, so it's just copy paste. You need to install it. They need to set up the parameters, the initial parameters, and let the customer look at this. So it's you know, instead of having five trials at the same time, we can have 20. It costs us more time, more material to put material, but eventually it's worth it.
No, it sounds to me like that's a very good use of money and investment, and should hopefully accelerate the IBAR acceptance.
Yeah,
to various companies. And thank you for that commentary, and it's an excellent segue into my next question, which is, and you mentioned that tire cord is sort of a mature, I guess the software is more mature, your understanding of the IBAR's capabilities, how to sell it is mature. Are there any other particular markets or sub-markets that you can mention? I think maybe Scrim or something else that you can say is also mature that you're targeting at this point in time?
We are currently investing in two more segments. The airbag in automotive and printed circuit boards business, which is glass fabric. These two segments, we are initiating trials, and we are putting our best engineers working on these segments just to make sure that we will understand exactly what the customer wants and what the customer needs. And hopefully it will be also a successful story, because these two represent many weaving machines. Let's put it this way.
Right. I mean, perhaps it sounds to me like maybe the old 80-20 rule applies, such that there's, you know, the 20% of the sections or segments, if you perfect your software for those segments, we can apply to 80% of the, you know, total addressable market for IBARs. Would you say that's a fair assumption? I'm sorry, go on.
Yes, I definitely believe this is the case. You know, as we add more and more features, more and more capabilities, you know, once we finish airbag, let's say we finished with tire cord, obviously this, whatever we did in tire cord, there's a lot of overlap to what we need to do in glass fabric or what we need to do in airbag. But there will be some few things that we would need to add to our customers in airbag. And so once we finish airbag, when we go to the next segment, composite material or upholstery or whatever it is, there will be a lot of common ground between the two, between these two segments. So you're absolutely right. I mean, we are investing a lot of time right now for a small portion of the overall business, but this will be, we will see these, the fruits of these efforts when we will continue to expand to other segments.
Okay, I appreciate those answers, and I think it really helps illustrate, you know, why it takes some time really to develop the IBAR and get these sales. So I really appreciate the additional color you offered today. Thank you very much, Sam.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Cohen to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available tomorrow on Elbit Vision Systems' website, www.evs.co.il. Mr. Cohen, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes. On behalf of the management of EVS, I would like to thank you for joining us today. Have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Vision Systems third quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.